So, Kristen, you know, in the past, it seemed like every actor had to play a crazy person. If you really wanted to be considered a serious actor and take on a role that would let you emote and go through a lot of, you know, different emotions and, you know, highs and lows and all that great actorly stuff, you had to play a nut.
Yes, supposedly that was the case, although a lot of the times the nut just seemed to be somebody who would shake their head a lot.
Yes, okay.
Or roll around on the floor a lot.
Roll around on the floor a lot, right.
Sometimes I thought, this isn't great acting.
Well, you know, crazy person, drug addict, alcoholic, it's all, you know, it all lets you do this. As an actor, it all lets you do the same thing, right? It lets you sort of, you know, go wild.
Yes, that's true. You can go wild.
Yeah, you can go wild. So my question to you is, what is your favorite Looney Bin movie?
There are so many. This is a genre that Hollywood never seems to get tired of, but I'm just going to stick with the classic, the one that we all love, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
And now they're telling me I'm crazy over here because I don't sit there like a goddamn vegetable. They don't make a bit of sense to me. If that's what being crazy is, then I'm senseless, out of it, gone down the road, wacko. But no more, no less. That's it.
It has your classic villain, the nurse.
Yep.
Nurse Ratched.
Yep.
We have the wonderful cast of characters who kind of show up in every Looney Bin movie. You have the people who seem like they have it together but then break down underneath it all.
Right.
The ones who are really just emotionally delicate. The ones who seem to have multiple personalities.
The sacrificial lamb who can't take it.
Yes. And then, of course, you have Jack Nicholson, who is always just so charming and enjoyable to watch, even in a Nut House movie.
Exactly.
How about you? What's your favorite Nut House movie?
It's tough because that one is such a great, great movie, and I do love that movie. But really, I think my favorite one might be King of Hearts, the French movie with Alan Bates, where he goes to the little town in somewhere in France, and it's a little town, and he doesn't realize that. It's during World War I, I'm pretty sure. And he doesn't realize that as the town evacuated, the lunatics literally didn't just take over the asylum. They escaped from the asylum and populated the town.
Ooh.
And so he doesn't realize that. And he comes into this town. He's trying to save the town from being bombed, I think it is. I may have some of the details wrong. But he's essentially can't figure out why everyone is acting quite so peculiar. And of course, as the movie goes on, he falls in love with a girl and he makes friends. And of course, he becomes, you know, he begins to see, of course, that war is the real insanity. And these are where the sane people are, because these people are just, you know, living their lives freely and fully.
Oh,
and so that's
so
why I love
heart,
that.
So
very,
much
it's
soul.
Very, very franche, very yes. franche, that movie. Yes.
We all learned a little bit of something about ourselves and the world.
That's right.
Excellent. Well, I know the reason you're asking this is because the new release this weekend that we were both looking forward to, that we both saw, it's kind of a funny story. But before we go into it's kind of a funny story and what we thought about that, this is Kristen Meinzer. I'm a producer with The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date.
Now, Rafer.
Yes.
It's kind of a funny story. Or is it?
Well, it depends. It's funny, though, right, that it's essentially, it's a very unusual film. It's a teen comedy set in a psych ward, right?
I mean, usually, and you might even say a teen romantic comedy.
Yeah, exactly. Of course it is. You're right. It's unusual. I mean, usually teens plus psych ward equals tragedy, you know? I mean, you don't usually see people having a good time and falling in love and learning a few things.
Usually it's on Lifetime.
Yeah, right.
It's usually on Lifetime. It's usually 2 in the morning. I'm eating microwave popcorn. Yeah.
Right. And there's usually a lot of histrionics and, you know, it's all very serious.
Mom, you never understood. That's why I have to do blank.
Right, exactly.
Whatever blank is.
Right. Eat, binge, and purge or whatever it is.
Yes.
Right? But there is literally none of that. Almost none of the things that I could think of that usually define a crazy person movie. Almost none of those things are in here. It's really the institution itself, Argonne Hospital in Brooklyn, which is fictional, does not exist. Don't try to go there. It's an extremely benevolent, almost whimsical place, didn't you think?
I thought so, but I mean, it did actually have that stock, you know, that set of characters that you expect kind of in the loony bin movie.
It does. It does.
You have the wise man who you can't really quite tell is crazy until he has certain breakdowns. You're like, oh, he really does belong here.
And that's Zach Galifianakis.
Yes.
Right? Playing
very
Bobby.
Wise, playing kind of a mentor character in the movie.
Right.
We also have people with multiple personalities. We have the person who will not get out of bed.
You're right. Muqtada, the Egyptian guy, right?
Yes.
Won't get out of bed.
So we do have the certain stock characters who are in it.
Yep.
But then for the most part, it seems like a pretty nice place.
Yeah.
It makes high school seem totally, totally like a war zone comparatively.
Right.
So you can see why someone would choose to be at this hospital instead of in high school if they had the choice.
I think that's in a way part of what I liked about the movie. On the one hand, the movie seems a little there's kind of not a lot of there in some ways. But I did kind of like the fact that very early on, as the teenage guy, Craig, played by Keir Gilchrist, I think is his name, he checks himself into a psych ward. And because the teen wing is under renovation, he winds up getting thrown in with the adults, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's that great scene where the door kind of locks behind him and he suddenly realizes, ooh, maybe I'm okay.
You know?
Actually, maybe this is just an overreaction. And it's funny because as you see him talk to people and to his counselor, who's Viola Davis, you see him talk and sort of explain his situation and what was leading to these suicidal thoughts and why he checked himself in. You in the audience start to realize, actually, it's not really anything. You're stressed out about school and you've got college applications coming up and you can't get laid. And
it's life.
It's just life, man.
Yeah.
Right. But I think he comes to that realization, which I liked. And I liked the fact that, as we were saying before, usually when it's teens in an insane asylum, it's a lot of drama. There's kind of not that much drama in a way, right?
There's almost no drama at all in this movie.
Yeah.
Any drama that exists whatsoever is with his interactions with a love interest outside the hospital.
You're right. That's right.
And most of the drama in the hospital, if there is any, it's so subdued in a way.
Yes.
Like his friend Bobby, for example. Bobby, there's a little bit of drama in wondering why is he here?
Right.
Because he seems so normal.
Right.
But then at one point, he seems to just almost disappear from the movie.
Yes. Well, right. Well, and there's this, because this is a Nuthouse movie and we have seen so many and we think we know what happens, there are these scenes, you know, whenever there's a scene of Bobby's face kind of going from a smile to more of a, you know, a far off place where he looks like he's getting that little dark cloud, you think, that's it. He's out, man. He's killing him. Next scene, he's hung. You know, he's hanging from the rafters, or he's lying in a pool of blood, or something. You keep expecting that. You know, and I don't want to spoil anything, but the movie does and doesn't follow convention in many ways.
Yeah.
Well,
let's talk about some of those conventions that we expect from a Nuthouse movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I break Nuthouse movies down into three categories.
Okay.
One, you think I'm crazy because I said I came from the future and I'm here to save you.
Or I'm an alien.
Or I'm an alien.
Right.
Or you returned the wrong son to me. Okay, this is like Changeling.
That's Changeling.
This is 12 Monkeys.
Right.
You know, this whole genre where, no, but I'm the sane one. I'm the only one in an insane world. So
I think we have the same ideas here, but I would call that the insane asylum as establishment. Right. The insane asylum is the man. And you're the one fighting the system. Right?
You are fighting the system.
Cuckoo's Nest, Changeling, all those things. Right.
Absolutely. You I am really, really, really nuts.
Right.
I'm a complete crazy person. And I mean, I'm trying to think of some that would Quills, maybe.
Quills. Good one.
Yeah. There
Shutter Island in some ways.
Shutter Island. Movies in which you actually are crazy.
Right.
You belong here. They're going to help you.
Right.
Stay here. Please don't come into society.
Right.
Please,
we were all pulling for you, but I think it's best that you stay there.
Yes, just stay there. And then finally, I have what I call the kind of lazy, crazy person,
which
I put, it's kind of a funny story in this category.
Yeah, okay.
Girl Interrupted. Where we have characters who kind of admit at one point or another, oh, wow, I just let myself get overwhelmed with stuff that's not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
It was easier to check out than to deal with the basic things of this college application, the fact that Johnny broke up with me,
right,
this or this or this. So those are the three categories I kind of, you know, put out there for the crazy movies.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, America really loves version number one, what you call the establishment movie.
You think that, right. And that was, people think that was set by One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest, which I guess really set the gold standard for that kind of movie. But there's also Shock Corridor, the old Samuel Fuller film, where he's based on a true story, I think, where the guy is a journalist and he's like, I'm going to check myself into the insane asylum and then, you know, I'm going to do an expose from the inside and, you know, and talk about the treatment and everything. And then but no one can know. You know, we have to keep this this cover story. And then, of course, what happens? Like, his editor dies or something, and then no one realizes that he's actually not insane and he's stuck in the freaking insane asylum.
This sounds so scary.
Yeah, you know, it's a real nightmare. It really is. But, you know, but I mean, in a way, Cuckoo's Nest was very similar, right? I think he goes into the hospital to avoid the draft, right? And then there's sort of no way to convince people, I'm actually really okay. I was just kidding.
And before you know it, frontal lobotomy.
And before you know it, right? That's what always happens, right? No frontal lobotomy in, it's kind of a funny story.
No. I mean, in a way, no spoilers here. Not going to spoil anything, right. But I am going to say this. In a way, I felt that the end of the movie was kind of inspirational.
The final
message of the movie seemed to be inspirational to me.
It is. It's even a little bit squishy, you know, in its way, right? You know,
yeah.
Live and love, and I'm gonna, you know, all my problems aren't solved, but I just have to take it one day at a time. And it's very, you know, it's very, it's pretty upbeat.
Yeah, it's very inspirational. Inspirational, which some people love, some people hate, but I think it is. I mean, that's kind of what I feel the movie was trying to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, I know. I'm going to sound like I have some sort of issue with females in the movies, but I'm just going to say it. I wish the females in this movie were better.
Yeah, I have to say it's Emma Roberts.
Roberts, who's lovely.
Yes.
And totally enjoyable.
Right.
To watch. She's very, very enjoyable.
Right.
But I just felt that she was only there to be a love interest.
Pretty much, yeah.
Zoe Kravitz. Only there to be a love interest,
yeah.
To take her shirt off and to climb on top of him.
Right, exactly.
I just felt the female characters were not especially strong. Viola Davis was the one exception, I felt.
Sure,
like.
Sure. But, no, I think my one objection was that, you know, Emma Roberts shows up covered in scars, right? And the scars aren't just on her wrist, but they're like actually on her face,
yes.
Right? And I kind of thought like, okay, well, that's, we hear a lot about self-cutting among young girls. I'm not sure I hear much about girls who actually cut their face. That seems pretty severe to me, right?
Yeah.
Usually they do it someplace where they can kind of hide it.
Mm-hmm.
That seems fairly serious, but we just never hear a word about it. She never explains it. She never talks about it. And you just have to assume that they both get out and everything's just fine.
You know why
afterwards.
It doesn't matter? She's so pretty and he loves her.
Because she's so pretty and she's got a lot of coal around her eyes.
Yeah,
that makes her look like
makeup.
Winona Ryder and
yeah,
Girl Interrupted, right?
Absolutely. And during fantasy sequences, she sings and wears tight pants. And
right, that's right.
There's.
But nobody really, this is my other objection to the film, which again, I did like. But nobody in the film, except for Craig, the main guy, ever explains what the problem is. Not Bobby, none of the peripheral characters. There's no one in the film. You never find out what anyone's specific actual problem is, only Craig. And I felt that was a little, it kept the film from being kind of well-rounded to me. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I feel there were tiny explanations, but they weren't fully.
Yeah.
Yeah. You really wanted more from
that.
That being said, like you, I did like the movie as well.
I did too. I liked it. I would recommend it. And I think I would recommend it also for, for a teen, for a young teen, I think would really enjoy it. And again, I think it de-romanticizes the idea of mental illness that I think teens are so prone to romanticize. And in a way, I kind of like that. I think that's a good thing.
I like that too. It's kind of a funny story.